This is The Guardian.
This week, with our eye on Thursday's local elections and the drama big Tory losses might spark, Politics Weekly UK is in Thurrock in Essex, where the council went bankrupt 2 years ago, largely because of terrible mismanagement.
If I did that in a job, I'd have been booted out, and reason why, and nothing.
The scene here seems to mirror the national picture. People are struggling to feel any sense of hope, despite the fact that the ruling party looks set to change.
Everyone worry, not just me, everyone. It's going worse, every single day.
So Rishi Sunak says the plan's working. Does it feel like that to you?
I don't think so.
So we're back to the big British question. Is there a way out of this mess? I'm John Harris, and you're listening to Politics Weekly UK for The Guardian. This is the road to Southend. We are told that this week may well turn out to be one of the most politically significant weeks in recent memory. There's all these rumours swirling around about whether or not Rishi Sunak's going to call an election. There certainly are local elections on Thursday where the Conservative Party is expected to get thumped, and that's going to deepen his problems. So with all that in mind, we've come to Thurrock in Essex, which is a council area, also a hotly contested parliamentary seat between Labour and the Conservatives. But there's something else which is really interesting here. The administration that runs Thurrock has run out of money. They're in the midst of swinging cuts. Labour is fancied to take over this week, but they say, look, we're faced with very difficult circumstances, and they're not sure that in the sort of short term they're going to be able to do anything differently. So it's the national picture in microcosm. If you want to understand the immediate future of Britain, I think this is a really good place to come.
Wow.
You know, you found us.
Yes, hello. We're at the Thurrock Play Network. It's a social enterprise which used to get money from the local council. But earlier this year, that money was cut.
So we're in the Pyramid Centre, and what we do is try and save things from going into landfill.
Lauren, who shows us around, is a volunteer here.
Think of us as a charity shop,
yeah,
but for arts and crafts and for the community. So we've got bins full of scrap where people can come in, the community can come in on a membership, buy bags of it for £2. We say as long as you don't throw it away and you actually use it for arts and crafts, take as much as you want.
Right.
And then on the perimeter is all individual donations from big companies to Mrs. Smith down the road.
I mean, there's sort of everything here, right?
Yeah, there's a bit of everything. So there's homeware, there's a haberdashery, there's card making, there's new stock for schools and libraries, there's stuff made out of scrap that people can buy. There's a vintage section.
But everything's useful. That's the point, isn't
yeah.
it? Yeah. Tina is a parent who comes here regularly.
My son goes to Treetop School. He's been there since year seven. And they cut the buses, the minibuses for the school. They want parents now to pay £26 a week.
I've heard of Treetops, I think. Is that a school for autistic people?
Yes. Well, I just had a knee replacement surgery and my son had to go on a bus because I can't drive. But they said from September on, parents have to pay £26 a week to get the kids on the buses.
So up until now, your son's transport costs have been free, and now you've got to pay £26 a week.
Yeah.
So that's well over £1,000 a year.
Yeah, but I'm on universal credit. I can't afford that. So I will drive him to school.
So that's a lot of money for you if you're doing the school run every day in a car, though, as well, right?
Yeah.
But do you think you can afford it?
Well, I have to, somehow. I used to work. I used to be a bus driver. But now I moved because of domestic violence. Now I get universal credit, and I have to make do with what I make to do. Like, I feed my son first, and what's left over, I eat. I don't make myself dinners. I eat what he left over. And I know I could go to the food bank, but it's not the stuff my son eats, so it's no point. So it's hard. And also, the council stopped giving food vouchers to people on universal credit during the holidays. You used to get £15 a week to feed your kid, but they stopped doing that since last year.
I wonder what your sense is of the help that you'll be able to get looking ahead for your son. Because obviously your son's your son is one of millions of people, right, who needs the help of social care, right?
Yeah.
The things that local councils are meant to do.
But I don't think there'll be any help anymore. To be honest, I haven't got much hope in any changes. Because whatever you vote, it always seems to be the same.
What the Play Network does has been saved by a charitable grant. Sylvia Yates is a trustee who's been struggling to keep everything going for the last few years.
We did get a phone call 2 weeks ago out of the blue because House in Street in Tilbury won the Millionaire's Street and they'd chosen us as the charity and they gave us £25,000.
Right.
So that was a miracle.
That gets you through another year, so to speak.
Yes, that will get us through the year. It's been iffy for the last 3 years, really. So we knew at some stage we would lose it.
How else are you seeing cuts affect people's lives here?
I think from my background, and I was involved very much with the Sure Start programme, and we were moving very much as an early years into prevention rather than crisis management, and things were obviously going very well. That's no longer the case, I don't believe, and now I personally, from what I can see around and what I hear, I believe that we're now crisis managing because all the council are able to do is provide statutory services.
Surrounded by scrap, piles of picture frames, old curtains and bric-a-brac is a long table, and it's clear this is where people come in for a cup of tea and a conversation, like Kenny, Wendy, Beryl and Lauren. The reason that we've come to Thurrock, among a few, right, is that you have a council that went bankrupt here 2 years ago. You see your instant reaction. I don't know why I'm laughing. It's awful.
No, it's awful, because it's not my error. And somebody's head should have rolled. Sorry.
No, no, why are you apologising?
Because if I did that in a job, I'd have been booted out. And reason why, and nothing. I mean, we're losing. Parents are losing out because they're having to pay more for the children to get to school.
Yeah,
so we're paying
more.
You pay more for less.
Go on, Kenny. What have you got experience of what these cuts are going to mean or are meaning?
Yes, I've got loads of experience. For example, my son's been taken out of two schools because of inadequate Senko setups. So now he's in Romford. But for 3 weeks, I had to drive him back and forwards for an hour each day for 3 weeks. Now, that's my time backwards forwards doing that. When you've got there's a perfectly good van that goes in front of my house, two doors down, picks the same kid up, takes them to the same school, and they couldn't arrange it. They wouldn't arrange it.
And it's not worked out for your son at those schools. What, because there's not been the support there for him?
There was hardly any support at both schools.
And so with the council cutting back and cutting back and cutting back, what's your sort of sense of your son's life looking ahead a year, 2 years, 3 years?
I don't see anything for him, really. I can't see any training to help him socialise, look after himself. He's just totally dependent on his parents, and we don't get respite, let alone him getting respite. We've got no time to ourselves. This here, me coming here, is my respite.
My son, there's nothing wrong with him. He's in his last year of school, so year 11. He's 15. There wasn't a space for, I think, over 250 kids in the area of his year going up to secondary school. So my son didn't get a place, and I know a lot of more other children didn't get a place in a secondary school. We weren't in a catchment area. So I had to then ring a local MP, got involved, and they eventually found him a place in Gable Hall, but I have to pay £65 a month to get him to and from school. Because there's no schools and no places available for my son to go.
Right. Here's a big question. Who here is going to vote on Thursday in these council elections?
Voted.
Yeah.
Postal vote. But right. We only had two people.
Okay.
I need two.
Who did you vote for?
No, I'd rather not say.
Did you vote different from how you voted last time?
Yeah, because there was only two on there. Yeah. So, yeah.
If I said that you had voted Conservative in the past and you didn't vote Conservative this time, would that be true? Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
So, Lauren, go on. How do you feel about voting on Thursday?
So I've always, as I said, you went down the middle normally, so it would Lib Dems or Green Party, but if they're not on there, so he's going to be Labour. I've never ever voted Conservative. I don't agree with them. I don't think they're for us as working people.
Okay. Well, plenty of people in Thurrock have voted Conservative.
Oh, yeah, they have. Nearly everyone. Well, down my road, I can guarantee they have.
Kenny, are your politics slightly different?
I have voted Conservative for quite a few years, but there's not much choice. As soon as people get in power and they promise you the earth, they deliver nothing.
The overwhelming feeling I get here is that this place has lost a lot. You feel you've lost a lot.
Yeah.
Things have been taken away, right?
Yeah,
and we're paying more for it.
Leaving aside who particular people are going to vote for, do you have any sense that things might get better soon?
It's bleak. Times are bleak at the minute, and there's been nothing that I can see is going to make it any better anytime soon.
Yeah, an old dad to the point that my son was living with me. He went away to uni, came home, and he was looking to move out with his boyfriend. And I said to him, get out of Thurrock. You do not want to stay here because things are going to be like this, I think, for the next 20-odd years here.
Just coming here and sort of helping the community locally keep you going in some way? Feeling as bleak as you all do, is there some sort of hope in what you do here?
Oh, this community, 100%. I think we are the backbone of this little place where everyone comes here for a reason. We uplift each other, we support each other.
Working together, sort of places have to help themselves.
Yeah,
and when I came here, I used to be really depressed on antidepressing and painkillers. I'm off antidepressing since I've come here, you know, because they're like my family.
Yeah. They call that social prescribing in some places. That's brilliant.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, everybody. That was great.
Happy voting.
Yes.
See, there you are. We're in the supposedly affluent southeast of England. We're in Essex, right? You know, you jump in your car and within sort of 25 or 30 minutes, you'll be in among all the affluents of Canary Wharf, for example. Right? That's just over there, so to speak. And yet people here feel this tremendous sense of loss and unfairness in it. That's the other thing. There is this real sense of, why is this happening to us now? People just don't think things are going to get better. I mean, you know, Keir Starmer's done quite an incredible job turning the Labour Party's electoral fortunes around, to be fair to him. But that's a job that remains undone, really, isn't it? He's giving people a sense that things are going to get better. Because those people are mostly voting on Thursday. They're not disconnected to that extent. But they have no sense, really, that things are going to change. None.
Thurrock, Basildon, Brentwood, Colchester and Southend will all be closely fought. Every council can change hands on Thursday. The issues which matter to voters, the need for more social homes, and frankly, just new homes, but for others, keeping green spaces and development.
We're now going to meet someone we've just heard on the radio quite by chance, Simon Dedman, who is a political reporter in this part of the world for the BBC, and knows a lot about everything that's happened here over the last 2 years.
How are you?
I'm good. I lost my microphone.
In 2022, the Conservative-led Thurrock Council essentially declared bankruptcy after gambling hundreds of millions of pounds on risky commercial investments such as solar farms and trying to cover up its losses. A report into the council described it as unconsciously incompetent. And when all of it came to light, how much was the council in debt?
So the total debt reached £1.5 billion. At the time, it was the largest debt of any local authority in England. That has now been surpassed, of course, by Woking, and then there's also Birmingham as well.
But £1.5 billion compared to the council's annual budget is what?
Oh, goodness. In terms of how much it can actually spend annually, it's about 10 times the amount. They have now managed to recoup some of the losses. It currently stands at around £434 million. And they've done that by being able to get back some of the money that was invested in the likes of solar farms. But there is still that debt. And currently, over the next 5 years, there isn't a plan in place to turn that debt to zero. So they still need to go on a path to paying it back, essentially.
So tell me your sense of what's sort of in play, what's defining the local elections here that are going to happen this week.
In most of the councils across the patch that I cover, you can't get away from the national picture. And that will definitely be playing out here, the state of the parties in Westminster.
And Rishi Sunak has been here on the day that we're having this conversation. What does that tell you?
Well, he hasn't been out and about campaigning. Privately, there had been some Conservatives in Essex who basically said to me they hoped that some of the senior Conservatives don't turn up on the doorstep, that that might make things a little bit harder for them. But also, of course, this is a tainted council as well. I think the polls, as you see them nationally, are in play here on the ground. There is a real love lost with the Conservatives, but there isn't necessarily a massive love of Labour. There isn't that kind of excitement that even some Labour figures admit to me in 97.
I think that's overstated. I'm old enough to remember that. It's not like everyone was walking around with the Tony Blair t-shirt on saying, isn't he marvellous? Do you know what I mean? People are always sceptical about politicians, and governments lose elections rather than oppositions winning them.
Probably.
What is the case, though, actually now compared to then is, I don't know whether you agree with this, if the Labour Party doesn't win here, it's not going to be in government. That's true.
I would say it needs to pick up seats in Essex to actually win. Yes, I think the path to power still runs through Essex and the east of England, I think, where they need to pick up seats there.
That long ago, the Prime Minister suddenly arrived. Rishi Sunak has done a visit, I think, to a DHL warehouse in Corringham.
Talking about knife crime.
Talking about knife crime and presumably making everyone on benefits turn up for work as soon as possible. So it seemed like a good idea, given it was only a 10-minute drive, to turn up here and find out what people thought of him and the fact that he's paid this place a visit.
Because I'm surrounded by young people doing fantastic jobs, beaming with ambition and optimism about the future, and that inspires me.
Corringham is about 5 miles south of Basildon. As with much of the rest of the country, people here seem a bit fed up of talking about politics.
What you thought the Prime Minister was doing, generally?
No, I really don't want to, but thank you.
That's okay. Thank you.
Can we talk to you for like 30 seconds?
Not really, no. Not got much to say about it.
Have you not? No, it's the Rishi Sunak's been here today, that's all.
You're joking.
No, I see. He turned up at the DHL.
Boris Johnson.
Oh, come on. Can we talk to you for 20 seconds, just standing there? There's a slight scent here of the sort of place that decides elections, I guess. Sort of affluent, but not that affluent. And there's a sort of stereotypical post-war shopping parade with no one around. And the Royal Bits and Tribute Band are on at the social club. We find Ali, who owns the Artemis kebab shop.
Sunak's been here today.
Yeah,
What do you think of him?
Him, I don't know. His politics is, I think, is wrong. Especially this Rwanda politics. Close the border, don't take people in.
Well, that's what he's doing, he'd say. He is closing the border, and if anyone tries to get in, they get sent to Rwanda.
No, that's wrong.
You think it's a bad idea?
Yeah.
So running a kebab shop, like you do, your costs have gone way up, have they?
It's hit the roof, yeah. And when we put the price up, and then people complain, your price is high.
Yeah.
But if we don't put the price up, we can't earn anything.
Yeah.
We can't survive.
Are you making a profit? Is it going okay at the minute? Or
it's gone down. It's very, very low.
And you're paying more tax, I would imagine, as well.
Yeah, council tax, HRMC, is all gone up. Used to be better.
Okay. Have you voted Conservative in the past?
Yes.
Would you vote Conservative again?
If I know it's better, I will.
Well, what do you think?
Yeah, before I liked Tony Blair a long time ago.
You were a Tony Blair fan?
Yeah.
Can you remember what you liked about him?
His politics was a lot better than nowadays, you know. Interest rate is very, very high. How are you going to survive? You're going to look after your family, or you're going to look after your kids, yourself, or you're going to pay the bills, or you're going to pay the mortgage? You can't do it.
But you own this business, do you?
Yes.
How long have you been here? Since 1998?
Yeah.
No wonder that's the Tony Blair years.
Yes.
You started your own business.
Yes,
then,
long
right?
time ago, yeah.
So that time sounds like has a lovely glow, like the country was better then, right?
It used to be lovely. I wish everything was been like used to be.
The 90s, it was great, wasn't it?
It's great and great, yeah.
Right.
Very nice, yeah.
But Keir Starmer says that maybe he's like the modern Tony Blair. He can bring some of that back.
Hopefully, finger crossed.
But would you vote for him?
Yeah, if I know he's better, I will.
Do you worry about the future of your business?
Everyone worry, not just me, everyone.
But do you think you'll survive?
It's going worse, worse, worse every single day.
So Rishi Sunak says the plan's working. Does it feel like that to you?
I don't think so.
Thank you.
Yeah, what do you think of the job Rishi Sunak's doing?
Terrible.
Go on.
Well, our council has been an issue for a while.
Yeah.
And obviously they've done nothing to address that. You know, they kind of ignored the funding issues and continue to cut services rather than do something about it.
Yeah.
Which is a theme for a lot of the country, it feels like.
Have you seen the impact of cuts and stuff right in front of your eyes?
Yeah. Bin services, general cleaning services, some of the roads.
Don't know whether you can remember this. At the last general election in 2019, mm-hmm. Do you remember who you voted for?
Yeah, we spoiled it. Yeah, we refused to vote. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
We didn't want Jeremy Corbyn and we'd had enough of the Conservatives, so it's like, well, we just refused to vote. You
okay.
Know?
And how do you feel now?
This time I feel like I have no choice but just to vote the other way.
Vote for Keir Starmer,
yeah,
vote
yeah,
for Labour Party.
Yeah,
tell
yeah.
me why.
I feel like it can't get worse.
Yeah, the Labour slogan in 1997 was things can only get better.
Yeah.
Yours is now things can't get any worse.
Yeah. Yeah, so a negative version of that, yeah.
Do you both work?
Yeah.
What do you do?
I'm a jeweller.
You're a jeweller?
So I have always been Tory.
Have you?
Yeah.
And how are you feeling at the minute?
Yeah, I think I'm swinging to more Labour now.
Why?
I don't really know why, but I just feel like, similar to my husband, it's not really working, and I quite like Sakir, from what I see on the telly anyway. Yeah.
What do you do for a living?
I work at the port, so it would typically be a Labour voter.
You work at the port?
Yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah. So I'm a dock worker there.
Are you?
Yeah, yeah.
And are you going to vote on Thursday in these council elections?
Yeah, I think so.
What are you going to do?
I still don't know. Yeah. I was looking at the polling cards before we came out, and I don't know what to do.
We'll probably be thinking about up until the last minute,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
It looks like, I mean, the Conservatives aren't in overall control at the moment, as you probably know, but it looks like there'll be a change here.
Yeah.
That the Labour Party will end up running the council.
Yeah.
Big job, though, isn't it?
Yes. They've got a lot to do.
What's completely obvious in every conversation that we've had is just this idea that the country's going in completely the wrong direction. It's what everybody says. Everything's just getting worse. Everything's getting really expensive. Life's impossible. Council are cutting all my services while I pay more council tax, right? So to pitch up here on a Monday morning at DHL, as Rishi Sunak has done, trying to impart the message that the plan is working, no one's buying. Albeit reluctantly, if you give people the offer of change, like Lily the jeweller, who habitually voted Conservative all her life, then probably with reservations they'll take it. But this is not a good time to be the political incumbent with a 14-year record. Has anybody said anything good about anything? No.
It's kind of our mini Barbican. It's a brutalist style structure.
In Grays, we've come to meet Samantha Byrne, who's campaigning to save the local arts hub, the Thameside Centre.
Museum, which is our heritage. So it represents more than bricks and mortar to the people of this community, and that's what's really important. It truly is the beating heart of Thurrock.
Thameside has been at risk of closure since the council deemed it to be surplus to requirements back in 2021. Sam takes us through the foyer, past the public library on the ground floor and up to the theatre, where she tells us why the centre's future is still far from safe. I get straight away that this is a place where people can come and interact with each other without having to buy anything.
Absolutely. Totally. And isn't that important, especially yeah. in this day and age? Whether you're a young mum with a small child and you're at home on your own, or you're an older person and you need to have that contact. Which is so important nowadays, especially with, you know, mental health, socialisation, well-being. You know, it's really important. This is the foyer to the theatre. The theatre's through there. I won't take you through that. Literally back in July 21, Thurrock Council decided that they were going to close and sell this building. They said it was unfit for purpose and surplus to requirements, something that the local community vehemently disagreed with. I don't think they expected the backlash that they got from the community.
So because the council went bankrupt, and you and I both know the first things that go very often, this is a story you've seen in Birmingham recently, is the arts budget as the first thing. And that's what happened here.
I think that the fact is that they didn't want the revenue on their budget for this place, and that they thought they could sell it and get a few million for it, and that would pay down the debt as well. Don't forget, I'm talking about when our campaign started, it was July 21. The debt really didn't, and the bankruptcy really didn't start to raise its head until September 22. But when it comes to selling this place, why should the people of Thurrock suffer for the mismanagement of their money? I mean, don't forget, it's a bit like me taking you to the building today and saying, you know, this is lovely, isn't it? Would you like to buy it? When you already own it. The people of Thurrock own this building. And I think that's something really important to remember.
What about the fact that the arts, and this place specifically, are not part of a council's statutory responsibilities? And so the importance of art and culture, and let's be blunt, you know, in a lot of working class lives, as much as anything else, just gets completely underrated or overlooked. That's part of this story, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think a massive part of the story, and something that I learned as soon as we started this journey, was that Thurrock Council were like, yeah, it's people from Thurrock, they're working class. Do they need arts and culture? And I'm being that blunt, because that's exactly the response we got.
How did that make you feel?
Sick. Angry. It's not acceptable. I think going forward now, and times have changed over the last few years since COVID, etc., etc., I think that this country as a whole is realising the importance, even more so than ever before, of arts and culture in the life of working people. It's so important, as I said before, about, you know, mental health, well-being, happiness. Let's, you know, let's just remember how important this is. And actually, in the scheme of things, when you come to costs and things like that, it really doesn't. It's not, you know, it's not a massive budget. This is probably one of the most used council buildings that Thurrock Council, and certainly the most loved.
What bearing will the result of the local elections this week have on how safe Thameside is or isn't?
I think that change is good. I think that goes for the whole borough. I think that for too long, potentially, big decisions have been made by very few people. Councillors are there to represent us. You vote for your councillor. We've got elections coming this week. They are there to be your voice within that chamber. They're not listening to us. They're not listening to the people.
It looks like Labour will take control of the council in Thurrock this Thursday. But how much they'll be able to change, as political reporter for BBC Essex Simon Dedman explains, is uncertain. If Labour win control of the council, do you think that the place quite quickly would feel different, in the sense that there'd be a different, a new way of running it, and some of these cuts might recede? Or what's your feeling about that? I'll tell you why I asked that question, because Keir Starmer, on a national level, he's asked that question, says, no, we won't have any money, right? Does the same thing apply locally, as far as you understand it?
Well, there isn't loads of money here in Thurrock. They're having to make cuts. And you know, John Kent, the Labour group leader, has said to us that, you know, he's going to have to make tough decisions. He can't rule out closing the likes of libraries. He says he wants to work with the local community, make things different here in Thurrock. I mean, will the average person feel the difference? There are still going to be tough decisions that whoever's in are going to have to make. So I'm not sure there's going to be this kind of nirvana moment on Friday, the 3rd of May, if there is a massive change of power. But there may be a change of process, and there may be a change of engagement.
That sounds like a good dress rehearsal for the general election, doesn't it? That's exactly the national picture as well, right? Power changes hands, but we'll have to wait to see whether anything actually changes, right? It's the same picture.
I think it is in many respects. And the thing is with local government, it is just really difficult for the councils and the political parties, because sometimes there can be more of a rizzler paper between the different political groups within a political area, because they often want the same goals. They want the same goals, but there's a very small pot of money. They haven't got lots of wriggle room.
Exactly the same as the national picture. I mean, I feel like the time I've spent here today has been like a sort of object lesson in the condition of the country as a whole. You know, it feels like everything that's happening on a national level in a very sort of detailed, fascinating way is happening here, you know. We asked Thurrock Council about the issues raised in this episode. On arts funding, they said, Thurrock Council provides grant funding support to Arts Thurrock, which in turn supports a number of arts, heritage and local history organisations, as well as local creative businesses. And on special educational needs provision, they said, year-on-year spending on home-to-school transport has increased. The council has budgeted £6.2 million for home-to-school transport for the 2024-25 academic year, over £2.5 million more than was spent in 2022-23. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, make sure you subscribe to Politics Weekly UK wherever you get your podcasts. Before we go, this Sunday there'll be a new episode in the Politics Weekly UK feed. The Guardian's Pippa Creerar and Kieran Stacey will be bringing you the fallout from the local and mayoral elections. Then, from Monday the 13th of May, you'll find a weekly episode where the two of them look ahead to the week's politics from inside Westminster. This episode of Politics Weekly UK was produced by Frankie Toby. The music is by Axel Kakoutier, and the executive producers are Maz Ebtahaj and Nicole Jackson.
This is The Guardian.